gentlemen, our national anthem.
Clowns, 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 here lounge.
The loudspeakers spoke up and said, the loudspeakers spoke up and said,
ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Clyde Lewis and the Ground Zero Lounge.
Thank you so much for coming out to the Ground Zero Lounge tonight. Let's go out loud for the internet. Please applaud loud so we can all hear you out there. Yeah. You know, I had some guys come here last week and they were saying, yeah, sometimes it's not those big crowds, sometimes it's small crowds. It's just sometimes we have good crowds. Most of the time they are good crowds, so we're glad to have you all here. So anyway, tonight we're going to be, it's going to be an interesting show tonight. It's hard to express and hard to describe shows like this, mainly because of the fact that around the time around the time we get to these holidays, Easter's coming up in the next couple of days, and yesterday was Palm Sunday, and it's kind of interesting that last night the Vatican, actually Rome, was hit by a 6.0 earthquake on Palm Sunday. So I'm going to be talking about that a little bit, which is kind of creepy, and a few other things that are a little creepy that are going on right now, preparing us for Easter. Also preparing us for some other anomalies that have been going on in space, anomalies that have been going down here on Earth, and a few other things. So tonight I'd like to talk about, and I'd like to, you know, touch the subject a little bit. And I haven't talked about this subject ever in the history of my career, and I've been doing this now for April Fool's Day was, I believe, 15 years. So Ground Zero has just celebrated 15 years of being around, so give Ground Zero a big round of applause. I've been doing this for 15 freaking years. So this is the first time I've ever talked about this topic. This topic is called Operation Bluebeam. It's called Protocols of PSYOP. And the reason why I talk about this is because I talked about this a little bit when I was on Media Monarchy. I was on the Media Monarchy show with James, and we were talking about this information on Media Monarchy. We had a few people, we had Zach here last week from Media Monarchy and a few other people who have heard the shows. And he wanted me to talk deeply into Operation Bluebeam, and I said, well, I really don't know all that much about Bluebeam, only that I know that it's the faking of a second coming or an alien attack. Which is interesting because in the book, Watchmen, the comic book, there's a character who becomes an arch-villain who eventually decides that he wants to fake an alien attack on the planet because he believes that if he does so, what will happen is the planet will unite against one enemy. Now, if this all sounds familiar to you, it's because of the fact that Ronald Reagan actually talked about this back in the 1980s. He said about three or four times, he said, if there was an alien threat from outside this world, we certainly would unite as a people. The Russians, the United States, all these countries would unite as a people if there was an alien threat. Now, Alan Moore, when he wrote the book Watchmen, he was stuck in the 1980s. It was a dual universe, a strange universe, where Nixon was still president. Ronald Reagan wasn't even thought of until the end of the movie, or at the end of the book. In the movie, they don't talk about this alien threat. They talk about a nuclear threat, which is weird. But the alien threat, I think, is far more effective and far more 80s to talk about, which is really interesting. So they're saying that if you had an alien threat or some sort of heavenly, what I call the heavenly threat or the heavenly intervention, people would probably unite. And so this is what Operation Bluebeam is about. Operation Bluebeam is the idea that perhaps we can create a second coming or we can create an alien attack to unite the people. Numerous conspiracy theorists, most notably former naval officer William Cooper, who wrote the book Behold the Pale Horse, speculated that Reagan's speech was an expositional public debriefing to nudge the public towards wrapping their minds around the idea that a world government is a necessary response to an alien threat. And so, how many people have read Behold the Pale Horse by applause? Anybody out there read that book? One or two of you? It's a great book. William Cooper has been around, well, he's dead now, but William Cooper was around long before Alex Jones, long before David Icke. He is the original. I had a chance to meet him, too. It was really an interesting experience to meet Mr. Cooper. But, he He even said that he believed that War of the Worlds in the 1930s was kind of an experiment to see how the people would react to an alien threat. It was fake, of course, and people freaked out. But, of course, you'd freak out if you had just that radio in your house and you counted on that radio to be the thing that gave you the truth. Well, Orson Welles gets on there and he says, hey, the aliens have invaded and they make it sound like it's really happening. People would freak out. And see, what if you did the same thing with visuals? I mean, right now we have all the technology for audio, but what about visual? What if we were able to fool people visually with something like an alien landing or perhaps even the return of a god or something like that, or a moon landing? I heard that too. The thing is, what's really strange about that is that I was studying about this, looking into it, and what I'm talking about now, what I'm presenting to you tonight, is actual reality that, yes, this can be done. That it can be done to, we could fake an alien attack, and people would believe it. One of the things about Cooper is he had a talk show. He also, most of the things you hear and see on the X-Files are taken from his books, because Chris Carter loved him. The guy who I know as Wolfgang Gossett. Wolfgang Gossett, of course, we talked about him. He's the new suspect in the D.B. Cooper case. He was the man who introduced me to William Cooper. And it was because he ran a show on KCGL where he did a lot of investigations. And then Wolfgang Gossett, the man you see here, who is now the new suspect in D.B. Cooper, was the man who introduced me to William Cooper, so I had a chance to meet with him and talk with him about some of these things. And so I was actually raised in this my whole life, you know, raised in this idea that weird shit's going on and you need to pay attention to it. So I've heard this for years and years and years and years before I decided to do a radio show about it. And so that's why I talk about this stuff now. Cooper was eventually gunned down in front of his house in Arizona. Now, what did he know? That's the question. I mean, he started talking about this stuff. He started talking about the idea of an economic collapse. He talked about the economic collapse, and he talked about things will happen in outer space. He started talking about all these things that are supposed to happen before the new government takes over. Now, what's really interesting about Cooper is that he's been spot on every time he's spoken. Cooper has been spot on, and people always thought he was out of his mind. But all the things he talks about in the book Behold the Pale Horse are taking place now. He talked about the economic collapse. He talked about the idea that they would create some sort of environmental threat that would get the people to worry. We got global warming now, which is an environmental threat. He talked about the possibility of an alien threat. He said if an alien threat was supposed to happen, or if it did happen, the alien threat would be fake. That the governments would find a way to fake an alien attack, and then they would have the solution to the alien attack, which would be space weapons, or perhaps a new religion, where we all had to get together and work together to fight this menace. And so the invasion idea has not happened yet that we know of. The return of the Messiah, of course, well, it's debatable, Barack Obama. But what I'm saying is that this stuff is something that Cooper has talked about, and it's part of the agenda to get people to start, you know, falling in line. Dr. Carol Rosen is a character in the Ground Zero past. Rosen had appeared on Ground Zero back in 2001. Rosen was the first woman corporate manager of Fairchild Industries and was spokesperson for Wernher von Braun in the last years of his life. Actually, she spoke for him because he was dying of cancer. She founded the Institute for Security and Cooperation in Outer Space in Washington, D.C., and has testified before Congress on many occasions about space-based weapons. What she had to say to Ground Zero listeners back in 2001, I will share with you, and a lot of what she said backs up what William Cooper said. Just before Wernher von Braun had died, Rosen claims that von Braun told her that the government will name several threats to the world that would create an urgency to organize a new government and build space weapons. Von Braun was well aware of certain intelligence because he was part of the Nazi U.S. protection plan called Operation Paperclip. Nazi scientists and intelligence officers were used to organize the space programs and the CIA. He claimed that the Russians would be the first enemy of concern, which they were. If you remember history, Russians would be the first enemy of concern. Then Muslim terrorists would be the next enemy of concern. The final enemy of concern would be the alien threat, because we've run out of enemies, because we're constantly finding new enemies, and the new enemy that would have to unite us would be some sort of alien threat. But it does give, von Braun did give the agenda on how this would be carried out. The first thing von Braun said is that the alien threat would not come on suddenly, that the alien threat would be something that we'd have in the back of our minds because of what has been conditioned with science fiction. science fiction has talked to us about aliens and flying saucers and invasions. But see, that's all in the back of our mind. What he said would begin with the idea that at first you start hearing about space anomalies, near-Earth objects, problems with the sun. You start hearing about all these things first because what that does is that keeps you aware of what's going on up there. See, most of the time, we don't look up into outer space. We don't give a shit. We're too busy looking down at places to shop. We look at our feet. We look at other people. But we don't look up into the sky. Shit is going on up there right now, and people are seeing stuff, and they're reporting it. And you say, hey, I see a UFO, or I see some strange space platform. People say, oh, yeah, you believe in little green men. You go away. But no. There is stuff going on. And science is also coming out and saying that stuff is going on in outer space. Things are falling out of the sky. People are seeing bright orbs in the sky. Not UFOs or aliens. They're seeing near-Earth objects. And also we're hearing more about sun problems. Von Braun said that the alien threat would be a lie if ever that happened. And that they would concoct a hoax to bring about a new world order and also a space-based weapons platform. He also said that if we do find out that there's some alien threat out there, it would cause what is known as the New World Religious Movement, where we would start changing the way we look at religion. New World Religious Movement means one thing. It means we will no longer be worshiping God. We'll be worshiping what's up there. We'll be worshiping the aliens, if you will. Now, this is a subject that is not at all alien, if you will. The idea that something up in the sky has somehow influenced all of us scared humans down here to start worshiping something. I'm going to give you some examples. Since Easter's coming, it's very appropriate to show you how religious movements are made. First of all, the year was 593 BC in the early days of the Babylonian siege of Jerusalem. A man named Ezekiel witnessed a marvel in heaven, a wheel within a wheel spinning towards him. After speaking with the strange-looking occupants of this flying wheel, he was given instructions on how to use the heavenly event for leverage against idol worshippers. He said that the idol worshippers should stop because he's found the gods. They came down out of heaven and spoke to him. Okay, that's documented in the Old Testament if you read the Bible. I don't know if any of you read it, but it's also documented in other things outside of biblical texts in case you just don't want to play in the religious realms, but that's where it happens. Saul of Tarsus is a character in the Bible as well, but he's New Testament. Saul was a Roman. Saul didn't believe in Jesus. Saul didn't believe in anything. But one day he looked up in the sky and saw a huge bright light. The light threw him down to the ground. And he said, oh my God, I worship you, I worship you, I worship you. And he became one of the greatest Roman evangelists. Okay? It was a bright light in the sky that told him to do this. Now, many of the mainline Christian churches at the end of the 3rd century were created all because of what Paul saw in the sky. There was the Jesus that we all hear about, which I call the magical mystery Jew. That's Paul's Jesus. The magical mystery Jew is Paul's Jesus, the one that sleeps for 3 days, rises up out of the ground, walks out of the cave, sees his shadow, we have winter for 6 more weeks. That's the Paul Jesus. The other Jesus is all the other disciples talk about him, not as some miracle worker, but as some great prophet. And that's why you have different religious sects, religious groups, okay? Paul was the originator of the magical Jesus, and that's why everybody believes he can walk on water and he can turn, you know, stone into bread and turn wine into urine, like everybody else. So there you go. Joseph Smith, 14-year-old boy from New York City, actually says he went into a grove of trees, prayed, saw two things come down out of the sky. He said they were God and Jesus Christ. Well, he's had about 150 other appearances of angels, demons, you name it, he saw it, and God and Jesus Christ. Okay? And so after he gets this vision, he's told none of the churches are true, that he should create his own church. So what do we have from Joseph Smith? We have Mormonism. And Mormonism came about because of that. Smith was also visited by an entity they called the Angel Moroni. But what's really interesting about the Angel Moroni is that several other witnesses who said they saw this angel said he didn't look like an angel at all, that he looked like a big white salamander. I know of only one thing that looks like a white salamander. It's either the Sleestak from Land of the Lost or it's an alien. Right? the original, yes. And I couldn't resist. Putting Enoch's head on top of Moroni's head. It's one of those things I had to do. How sacrilegious of me. You see, what's really interesting, though, is that he did appear as an angel to some people, but then he turned around and he looked like a lizard to other people. Kind of sounds like what David Icke talks about. Those shapeshifters, right? Those lizard people. They go from being human to lizard. and they're in power, and they want your blood and all this other weird shit. That's why Mormons are in your genealogy. They trace bloodlines. Kind of strange, isn't it? So anyway, that's the story of Joseph Smith. There are approximately about, there's about 13 million Mormons out there. 13 million Mormons, all of them are believers in a book that was allegedly translated from an Egyptian golden book of undecipherable scratches that was handed to a young man, half-reptile that came down in a beam of light from the sky. Doesn't that sound alien to most of you? Yeah, by applause. Doesn't that sound alien? The idea, see, you get the idea here. You get how it works? You make up some sort of alien story, and bam, you got a new religion. Okay? Bam, you got a new religion. How many people knew this about Mormonism? You know, Mormonism has been around 180 years. It grows as a restoration dominion dispensational religion, which is really strange. It's taken 200 years to change the stories over and over again to maintain the idea that something came down out of the sky in the 1800s, told a 14-year-old boy to start a religion, and he did. Okay? Was it alien? Who knows? But it's still an interesting story because I'll tell you what, the Scientologists learn too, don't they? Some alien named Xenu is part of their religious belief system. And they were all affected by these dead aliens that come from volcanoes. Something like that. I don't know all of what Scientology believes, but I do know they believe in Xenu. I do know that L. Ron Hubbard was the founder of that religion, and L. Ron Hubbard, of course, was a science fiction writer. And he also practiced black magic with Jack Parsons out in the middle of nowhere, masturbating to some strange deity. It was an Aleister Crowley deity. The New Babylon, the Babylon War, exactly. But yeah, Scientology is no different. It's an alien religion too. Xenu's there, everybody's there. Satellites, the spacemen, everything, they're out there. Now the Catholic Church has come out and said that believing in aliens and God is okay. We used to say that aliens were not real. We used to say that aliens were bad news. Now they're saying, hey, aliens are all right to believe in now. Why would they do that? Unless, of course, something's about to happen where they have to kind of take back and go, oh, yeah, well, we said that aliens were okay to believe in now that aliens are real. Now that we found life on Mars or on Jupiter or wherever they're trying to find life these days, or if something just so happens to land in a field somewhere in New Jersey, we're all covered. Okay? So the idea of instilling the belief of an alien return or the return of some alien thing is basically hedging their bets, in my opinion. It's kind of an idea of consensus brainwashing, okay? When you look at a date like, for example, 2012, how many people have heard the date 2012 by applause? Okay? Now, these microphones are available to you if you want to talk. If there's something you want to say about 2012 or what I'm saying, you can get up and talk if you'd like. And you can ask me questions. But see, 2012 is not like Y2K, okay? No, it's not. It's not like Y2K in any stretch of the imagination, because Y2K is not emotional or spiritual or even based in some Mayan legend. Okay? It's based in the idea that a group of Mayans who knew better than you or I, who lived thousands of years ago, basically wrote a calendar and stopped it at 2012. And when these people got a hold of that information, they were saying 2012, we're all fucking doomed. And they've been saying in places of power, we're all doomed. So basically, if you walk around thinking that we've only got about 3 years left on this planet, you're either going to do one of two things. You're either going to give up, or you're going to work your ass off to try and make sure that you're prepared for something that may happen on 2012. So we have this consensus brainwashing of a date that's supposed to be coming where something strange is going to go down, where paranormal events are going to be spinning out of control. These events that we have been hearing about longer than we can recall, events that yield the same outcomes that have been part of our cultural fears for thousands of years, whether it be alien invasion or whether it be the return of some god. Okay? And everybody's been taught that from Sunday school to science fiction comic books. Some of the events, for the most part, sound eerily biblical. Stories include earthquakes, eclipses, planet collisions, visits from angels, demons, space elders, and, of course, the return of a messianic god. You know, pick your god. Either the Imam is going to return if you're Muslim, or Jesus is going to return if you're a Christian. And, you know, what's really strange about all this is that you take a look at 79% of the world. Believe this. 79% of the world are Christians. Those 79% believe in a virgin birth, they believe in demons, they believe in angels, and they believe in a literal second coming of Jesus Christ. So you know what that tells me? 79% of those people are time bombs just waiting to freak the fuck out when they see something strange is heading their way. You're right, yeah. Go ahead and applaud that. It's true. Yes. 79% of those people who believe in a literal second coming of Christ are going to freak the shit out when they see it. They believe that the moon will lose its light, the stars will fall out of the sky, the powers of heaven will be shaken, and then in their place new brightnesses will appear, Jesus will appear, all kinds of shit will go down. Okay? So there you go. Also, they believe that Jesus is going to return and kill all the wicked people. He's going to slaughter everybody. That's not good. So if you've been out drinking too late on a Sunday night and he shows up, screw you, you're gone. The majority of American Christians will tell you that the United States is a Christian nation based on Christian values, and of course the Decalogue was why we had the Constitution and all that. It's bullshit! Bullshit! Yes, I hear bullshit from the audience. Go ahead and come on the microphone if you want to say something. That's how it works, dude. If you want to say something, you want to debate with me, come up on the microphone. You don't want to come on the microphone? Oh, I don't care. Even if he agrees, he can come up and talk to me. That's okay. It's okay. You think it's bullshit? What do you think is bullshit? Tell the audience what you think is bullshit. That's how it works, dude. Get up and talk about it. Get up and talk about it. You think it's bullshit? Get up and talk about what you want to talk about.
All right, so what are you saying about all these Christians fantasizing about Jesus coming back?
They are.
Yeah?
I think so, yes.
And you think they're trying to form a revolution?
Yes, I do. I think it's 79% of the American people who believe that Jesus Christ is going to return again are out of their fucking minds.
Really?
Yes.
You really believe that?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
I do. Do you believe that Jesus is returning?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, and if he doesn't return, will you believe it if they fake it?
It doesn't matter if it's in the next 100 years. He's going to return.
Okay.
That's what I believe.
He'll be dead?
What?
So it won't matter anyway, right?
You'll be dead. No, it does matter.
Okay.
It does matter. He's going to return. It doesn't matter when. He's going to. Gone to.
Okay. We'll say, I don't believe he's going to come back.
Okay.
I believe it's death.
So you believe that the whole Bible is bullshit or what?
I believe that the Bible has some great stuff in it. It really does, but I think that I think if we use the Bible as a mechanism to shut down, it's not good. I think that if we use the Bible as a mechanism to self-destruct, it's not good. I believe if the last chapter of that book, which is the book of the Apocalypse, is telling you that Jesus is going to return as a mass murderer, not good.
Yeah, no, I believe that too, but it's not just he's going to return as a mass murderer. It says he's going to return to punish the sinners that have gone against his word.
So are you a sinner?
Of course I'm a sinner.
Okay, so aren't you scared shitless that he's going to come down and kick your ass?
I'm still a Christian. That doesn't matter. I believe in him.
Look, I'll tell you what. He loves you, man. But he's going to kill you because you're a fucking sinner.
He's not going to kill me because it's the afterlife that matters.
Really? Well, your afterlife is... I'm going to be coming down to you in visiting hours. We're going to have a good time in hell, you and I.
Okay, see, that's the thing. You don't believe in an afterlife.
I do believe in an afterlife, actually.
What kind?
I don't know. Maybe this is my second or third afterlife. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus, but I certainly don't believe in this shit. That's true. I don't believe in that. Thank him. Give him a hand. He was good. Really, that's what we like. We like that kind of debate so we can learn things. We don't learn things from my big fucking mouth going, your mouth is what we need to hear. Okay, good. If anybody else wants to get up here, by all means. Anyway. The literal word of God, they take it quite literally. This gentleman takes it literally, too. Yeah, people are going, whatever. Well, if you have the balls to step up here and talk to me, then you can say whatever you want. Look, if Jesus is going to return again and kill everybody, then what's the point in the second coming? I mean, come on. Yeah, what's the point? I mean, if he loves you, then why is he going to come down and kill you? Doesn't make sense. I mean, what? He's going to come back in the Passion too because he's pissed off? I mean, come on. Okay, go ahead.
You don't understand. They want him to kill them. They call that the rapture. They want their lives ended so they can go live at his right hand.
Oh, boy. That's really funny. I don't like that. I something uncomfortable about that. I mean, that's a part of Christianity that I don't like. Because everybody doesn't think they're the ones that are going to die. Okay? They're the ones who think they're not going to die. Go ahead.
Well, Mel Gibson beat the shit out of him for 2 hours in a movie, so maybe that'll provoke him to come back.
Oh, and they said that was the way it was, yes. They said that's how it was supposed to be. But see, that's the thing, is that how do we greet somebody like that? Let's say that the UFO lands, Jesus comes out, Gort stands there with his little eyeball going back and forth. He's waving at everybody. How do we deal with it? I mean, look, if he's going to come again, we should have a protocol, right? For dealing with the deity, we should be able to say, this is how we welcome a god, this is how we welcome aliens. We don't have that. If we're a Christian nation, people, we should have a bylaw or something written in the Constitution that says, oh, and by the way, since we are a Christian nation, and since we're like this guy over here, and we believe in the literal second coming of Christ, then by all means, we should have a written statement as to how we welcome that Jesus back to this planet. We don't, because we don't believe in it. We don't believe in it. That's why we don't have it. We don't. People do not believe in it literally. If you believe in it, then I want you to demand that they write something either in the Constitution or in the bylaws of this country that say, we know how to welcome Jesus Christ back to our planet because we're Christians and we believe. It won't happen because it's not going to happen. That's the whole point. I mean, how do you say hello to the great I Am? Hi, I Am! Or we'll just fall down our knees and pray and hope he cares. No one's answered that question. Same with aliens. If aliens are going to come back, how do we welcome them? How do we welcome them? Nobody answers that question because they don't know. On bended knee, exactly. She's right. In fact, they say that we will know, and when we do, we will meet with him on bended knee, and that every tongue will confess that he's God. You've heard that. Thank you for that. It's true. The thing is that when we come in contact with a returned Messiah or an alien being, we are going to see technology that cannot be easily explained, and so we will consider it magic. If you see something that you don't know about, technology that you're unaware existed, it is indistinguishable from magic. There's a logical explanation for making things float, but if you don't know what that explanation is, then something floating in front of you, whether it be a man that looks like a guy that can change your transmission with a mullet, or an alien, yes, you got it. They can fake it if they need to. Because the thing is, this return of Jesus or aliens or whatever has to be pretty fucking amazing or else no one's going to believe it. No one is going to buy it. Okay? Jesus will be thrown under the bus. As von Braun had stated, there would be a time where threats from the sky would be used to corral the people in accepting a one-world government. That time is now. Von Braun had said that near-Earth objects and threats from the sun would be the first signs that the plan to create a fake alien or hoax messianic arrival would take place. How many people have heard the stories about the East Coast? They've been bombarded with all kinds of shit falling out of the sky. At first they thought it was a Russian rocket. Now the Air Force says they have no idea what's coming down out of the sky. They don't know. They don't know. U.S. Air Force, bright light, not man-made object. Also, how many people have heard the word deep solar minimum? Do you know what that means? That means the sun has become dormant. Take a look at this graph. See where we're at. See what they're projecting for 2012. A large magnetic tsunami. You know what that means? If it hits the planet, no more iPod. No more cell phone. No more digital TV. No phone, no lights, no motor car, not a single luxury. Like Robinson Crusoe, you're primitive as can be. Yeah, it's Gilligan's Island all over again. Make a nuclear reactor from a fucking coconut. You're pretty fucked. Okay? And NASA has said this over and over again, and yet we do nothing to await the magnetic tsunami. These anomalies in space have been exploited politically, and also you see projected meaning into these events by astrologers and New Age people. This is also creating a bit of predictive programming. Christian belief systems also get a nudge as the Memes of heavenly anomalies become evident, and the prophecies of the messianic return will revolve around wonders in heaven. Just so you know that I'm up on my Bible, this is from the chapter of Luke. It says, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity in the morning, etc., etc., etc. The world's all screwed up. The skies are all screwed up. And guess what? Jesus will return. Boy, we can really play on that, can't we? Hitler used Nostradamus to convince everyone that they were going to win the war, and they lost. And I'm sure that we can use the Bible to convince everybody that we're on the right side and everybody else is on the wrong side. But you know what? It's just a fucking book. Okay? And I'm sorry that you may believe in it with all your heart, but you know, you need to use some common sense with believing in all your heart. Exactly. A guy by the name of Jean Baudrillard, French philosopher, had said that what is happening to postmodern culture is that our society has become so reliant on models and maps that we have lost all contact with the real world that preceded the map. Reality itself has begun merely to imitate the model, which now precedes and determines the real world. What that means is that we're in a state of hyper-reality, and we need to have a little bit more hyper-skepticism because people will believe everything they see. And if we decide that we want to create a messiah, it's easily done. These pictures have not been photoshopped. These are actual pictures of Barack Obama before his campaign, and the people below him have all been enlightened with the light of God. So if you wonder why you voted a certain way, yeah, George Bush was a fucking mean son of a bitch, but this guy, he looked better. He looked better. That's why you voted. The best example of managing public opinion through symbolism was demonstrated after the attacks on the World Trade Center. You take a look, there's smoke in the clouds of the World Trade Center, a cross in the rubble of the World Trade Center, and people putting up a flag looking just like they did at Iwo Jima, just like they did on the moon. It's the same fucking meme being milked, and you're buying it, hook, line, and sinker. Okay? It's been done over and over again, and it's done well because they have electronics to do it. As we can see, the signs and symbols are more powerful than the reality. If the signs and symbols could be simulated or exploited, social engineers can control the masses through a series of simulated miracles. In the process, the magic can set the stage for the arrival of the Messiah or a transcendent being, created through the processes of special effects, new technologies, technologies that are indistinguishable from magic. John Ronson is a powerful writer. He wrote a book called Men Who Stare at Goats. If you haven't read it, I suggest you do. It talks about some of the strange and weird things that our government is working on to try and kill off or at least subdue an enemy. What Ronson had reported about was something called the gay bomb. Has anybody heard of the gay bomb? The gay bomb is where they would drop a bomb on an enemy and it had pheromones in it, so the enemy would end up butt-fucking each other and then we'd take over. I'm not shitting you. It's a real fucking weapon, and we invented it. Okay? Okay. He's also talking about low-frequency infrasound weapons that you can basically aim at a person, he'll shit himself right in front of you. These are real weapons. Okay? Real weapons. They can cause death, too. But one of the things he talked about, which is really interesting, is something called the prophet hologram. Prophet hologram is the ability for an enemy or for anyone to holographically produce an image in space that looks quite much like a god or an alien or something like that. They can fake a literal alien or god attack. Okay? So something they can do. Yitzhak Hayutman, 61-year-old cybernetics specialist, was featured in Wired magazine. He invented a way to put the throne of God above the Dome of the Rock. The reason why he did it was because he believed he could engineer peace through the apocalypse. And that's why he created the hologram. Okay? According to the Defense Technical Information Center, the United States does have a patent on this stuff. It's called ADA 33849. What they do is they take and they can put an image up in space. It can take over the entire field of view. The way they do it is they actually use something called barium. Strontium barium niobate. The way to get in the sky is to drop it out of planes through trails. How many people have heard of chemtrails? Chemtrails have barium niobate in them. They've analyzed them. The reason why they lay these down is so they can do vectoring of the skies. They can last for up to 6 hours, and they can traverse the skies at about 600 miles. field of view, and they can project the fog screen technology in that. Here's something from an Air Force technology study from 1996, Air Force 2025, showing how planes can also project several other planes in the same vicinity, making it look like more than one plane is attacking. Imagine using this technology to simulate an alien attack. In fact, it really doesn't have to be that sophisticated to get a reaction, because how many people remember, well, there was something that happened in 1977. It was called the incident at Fort Benning, or it was the incident at, it wasn't Fort Benning. Yes, it was Fort Benning. It's the incident at Fort Benning where a number of men saw, 1,300 men saw in the sky a UFO. It was so impressive that they crashed a helicopter and shot each other. There's a book called Incident of Fort Benning. You can read it. They actually simulated a UFO attack on a major base, and the soldiers went completely berserk. Actually, in 1997, there was something known as the Phoenix Lights. Anybody remember that incident by applause? A lot of people believe that the Phoenix Lights was an example of Operation Bluebeam because of what happened after the lights were shown in Phoenix. One of the things that happened is that a lot of people believe it was a PSYOPS operation, because you take a look around at some of the surrounding stories. A guy ripped off an A-10 warplane. He was in formation in Arizona. Heard of that. He basically stole a plane and ended up committing suicide. They said he committed suicide because he felt that he and his girlfriend weren't doing well. It's not true. He was upset because he thought the world was ending because they saw a UFO over Arizona that was huge, about a mile long. And he went off formation. Another thing that happened a couple days later, Heaven's Gate cult committed suicide. Now I hear a few woo-hoos, but you know what? Heaven's Gate cult was actually a part of this experiment. They actually thought that this was happening, and they ended up committing suicide and deciding they had to leave the planet because they thought the end of the world was happening. Another thing that's interesting about the Heaven's Gate cult is that they did work for the government. They worked on a few things, basically working on Advanced Development Group software, which was software that was supposed to prepare government officials for communication with extraterrestrials. I'm not kidding you. They actually worked on that type of software. At least three of them did. Many of the people were involved in that. How many people have heard of Major Ed Dames by applause? No one? Someone? Any of them? Ed Dames is involved with groups like Earth Battalion, which is a group that basically through ESP can talk to each other telepathically, and they also try to communicate with aliens. This is your tax dollars at work. Your tax dollars pay for this kind of experimentation. I'm only reporting it. You can think I'm out of my fucking mind. I don't give a fuck. They do it. Okay? They do it. A projection system only to create aliens would be simple enough. But to fake the second coming, you not only need a good thing to look at, but you need a good soundtrack too. No one is going to buy into the idea that Jesus is appearing in the sky unless they have a soundtrack running through their head. And it's impossible to get speakers that big, right? So it would have to get right into your brain to impress you. Well, guess what? They have the technology. They have the technology to beam something directly into your skull if it is even the voice of God. That is a real headline from strategy page from the military about the death ray, that now they can use ultra-low frequency to broadcast messages into your head. In fact, they use the same technology to broadcast into people's heads people who run battleships so they know how to steer clear of other ships. They no longer talk to them on the radio. It comes right into their brain. They hear a small voice in their brain. In fact, one of the guys was so frightened that he didn't want to hear it again. It's called an LRAD beam. LRAD beams. Let's say the image of God or Jesus appears in the sky, and all of a sudden you hear, I am the one, I am the one true God. Hello, hello, I'm Alpha Omega. Get on your knees, bow to me, tongue and all, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you see the soldiers start rounding people up to take you to the second coming to meet with God. The thing is that that's how it would work. You would see it in the sky, it would appear, and then you start hearing the voice. Those are what LRAD weapons look like. So if you see them start to set up that shit in your neighborhood, you know they're getting ready for something. Okay? There was actually a TV show called Paranormal State, where in New York they actually used that technology to have a commercial. You'd walk down the street, you'd see up on this billboard, it says 79% of people believe in the paranormal, and then you hear, who's that? What's that? It's not your imagination. They're broadcasting it directly into your head, and if you look at the top of the building, you can see that they used LRAD broadcasters to broadcast it directly into your brain. Okay? They have the technology to do that. Also, here's a good one. I got this story about a detainee that was at Guantanamo. Basically, wasn't cooperating with the people there. They were giving him what they call the waterboard treatment. He did not crack. But then, the next morning, he wakes up and he says, "Hey, I'm going to cooperate with you. You know why? Because Allah appeared to be in my dreams, and he told me to cooperate." Now, either Allah did appear in his head and tell him this, or he was brainwashed into thinking that. And they used electronic means to get him to do it. This is a holographic image that was done at a fashion show in Milan. It's supposed to be an angel. That is an image that was broadcast in the sky above Milan during a fashion show. That is how they look. Okay? Here's a holographic image that was done during the elections on CNN. The girl in the picture is a hologram. She's not in the studio. How many people caught that when they were watching the elections on CNN? Anybody applause? Anybody see The Daily Show when they went, "Why? Why?" Yeah, why? Because they can do it. That's why. They wanted to show you it was possible. I'll show you how fog screen technology works. Take a look at this. That is a dragon that came up out of the water in China. That's using fog screen technologies. See? These holograms are real. They can fake it. Russians were alarmed when they looked out of their houses one day and saw this. It went all the way from noon until nighttime. It was Jesus on the cross floating above Russia. What's that? It stayed in the sky for a long period of time. Some people believe it was blue beam technology. This is Calcutta. Not Calcutta, what did I say? No, this is Nepal. You can't really tell on the screen, but the skies are red. The whole sky is red. This is not sunset. This is the middle of the day. And nobody knew why the skies were red. It was frightening them. They thought it was some sort of a space deal. It was unnatural. NASA recently released this photo. It's the China X-ray Observatory. It released a photo of high-energy X-rays emanating from the nebula around PSR B150958. They colored it with a blue beam to reveal what appears to be a hand reaching out and appearing to be creating a new galaxy. What? Have you seen a hand of God before? That's the hand of God. At least that's what they're calling it. The hand of God. If you didn't know any better, you'd think it was a hand making a galaxy in space. There are a lot of dome-shaped objects that were seen in the skies above England recently. They all look like protractors. They didn't look anything like UFOs. They look like dials and symbols and weird things in the sky floating around. They didn't know what it was. It looked like a big grid. They're wondering if maybe they were doing some sort of a practice run, showing some strange things in the sky. Holographic images. Well, Operation Blue Beam is supposed to be a universal hoax affecting all religions. It seems that most of the theories behind the very real technologies are based in Christian paranoia. Many say that the project will be used to falsify God's word. Well, it won't matter, because in the words of Mr. Baudrillard, the simulacrum is never that which conceals the truth. It is the truth which conceals that there is none. The simulacrum is true. Basically, what he's saying is that you wouldn't know God if he bit you in the ass. Why? Because you rely heavily on images from the Renaissance, images from television and movies, images from wherever, but you don't know what a God looks like. You don't know what an alien looks like. You don't know what any of that looks like. Because it's all made up by people in Hollywood. You want to come up and talk? Go ahead, sure.
Have you been like a first-hand experience on any of this stuff that you're talking about?
What do you mean?
Like everything that you're talking about is from the internet or a book or from someone else's experience, right?
No.
You've actually seen stuff in the sky and stuff?
No, that was all reported in the news. I'm a newsman.
Yeah.
I work for
second-hand
CNN.
Secondhand accounts, though. So
it's not secondhand accounts. It's all widespread. It's common knowledge. You can look this up yourself.
I'm not saying I don't believe you. I'm not saying I do believe you. I'm just saying, like, you're saying all this based on what other people are telling you.
No, I'm doing this all this on intelligence reports you can get from the Freedom of Information Act.
That the government controls.
Well, that's a good point, but yeah. But I'm just saying,
But it doesn't matter if I say it or anyone else is saying
it. I'm just saying, you haven't seen anything in the sky or any of this
elements. Oh, I've seen UFOs in the sky. You can go up to Mount Adams and see them all the time.
All right.
You can. I mean, yeah. Good. Go ahead. Sure.
Well, most of this is a matter of public record, and if you think about it, what information that we have isn't told to us or read in books or reported by other people. There's a lot we take a lot we take on faith.
You have to take it on faith. See, the only ideas we have about God is what we read in the Bible. The only thing we have about God is what we see in movies. The only thing we know about Jesus is what we see in the damn paintings that we see. Okay? And so we have to have a lot of thunder and lightning. We have to have a lot of wind. We have to have a lot of crazy shit in order for us to believe that this is real. So they're going to have to fake it. Because if God was just to come down, and if he was to hire a telemarketing firm to tell you that he's here, you wouldn't believe it. I'm serious. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, this was just in the paper the other day. 1999 and after, new video manipulation technologies raise fears of mass deception, using video and movies to deceive the people into believing something that isn't real. You know, if no one had told me that Jurassic Park was not real dinosaurs, I would have believed they were real, but then they said, hey, CGI technology. They look real. They look real. And if they were to create simulacrum and not tell you, if they were to change everything you believed in Jesus or God or whatever, who would you believe? Would you believe me? Would you believe your friends? Would you believe them? Like, he brought up a good point. Even though that he feels that he didn't make a good point, he did make a good point. Where do we get our information, and what does this information mean? What does it mean to you? Well, it doesn't matter what it means to you. It's what it means to them and what they're going to try to get you to believe in. Go ahead.
I beg to differ with you on the Jurassic Park thing. You don't know that those dinosaurs weren't real. You were told by other people and read in books that
they weren't real. That's so true.
Yes.
Of course. Very good. What's that? I just said you were right. Did you just hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? I said you were right. I said you made up a good point. No, I said you made a good point. Did I just say that he made a good point by applause? What the fuck is your deal? You made a great point. Jesus Christ. Okay. We had an earthquake in Rome today. How many people heard about this? Big earthquake. 6.0. You know what's really interesting is that the Pope, a year ago, almost to the day, had said to get the money changers out and start relying on yourselves. Well, guess what? The money changers just met in England last week, and they decided to create a new world order while you were sleeping, while you were believing everything that you hear. They just decided to create a financial new world order, and they're going to change the laws pretty damn soon, and you're going to be broke. But see, the Pope said this on Palm Sunday last year, and now on Palm Sunday this year, we get a major earthquake. Not only that, but he tried to reveal secret societies in the area. New World Order still a conspiracy? No, it's not. It's reality, and you're going to be living it come summer. Hearing about shootings going on now, wait till summer gets here. In about 120 days, I said that we're going to start seeing shit go down. It's happening long before I said 120 days. People are just shooting people because they just don't have any hope anymore. You know, you don't work so well, you don't act so well, you don't feel so well, but you can die pretty damn well. And people know that. It's pretty easy to do. The G20 summit just wrapped up, but sure enough, they're going to make you poor. They're going to change all kinds of things. Also, another secret combination, a secret society known as the Knights Templar, allegedly hid the Shroud of Turin from the Catholics for a long period of time. It's another example of how they can take religious artifacts and they can make them have meaning. I don't think the Shroud's real myself. I think the Shroud was made up by the Knights Templar myself. The movie Angels and Demons is coming out in theaters. The movie is about the Vatican being destroyed by an unknown power and an unknown science. Like something strange, yes. Something strange. The blue beam technology allegedly will project a deity or an alien in the sky. It will beam into your head images and all kinds of things that you probably won't be able to resist That's how good it is. And so that's what you need to think about, is that if they can convince you of this, maybe they can get you to change your views. And I'm hearing you, too, and I know what you're saying, and I believe your views are going to change. They really are. What they'll do is they'll take the various images of Christ, Buddha, Muhammad, they'll move them all together, and they'll say, this is your new religion, and people will go, okay, that's it. New world religion representing one God they'll see before you, and that's it. I know what he wants to say. Some claim that the blue beam technology can fake or hoax a rapture scenario where people will be seen being beamed into heaven. That's another thing you have to look out for as well. There have been television shows like Taken and Left Behind to remind you that you're either here or you're going with them. It's a real scenario. It really is. Even if all the religious hokum doesn't get you convinced, they'll be able to do they'll go get your psychoactive defenses by beaming all kinds of frequencies, either low or high, through your iPod or your cell phone into your head. They'll do it. They know how, and they have the technology. It's available. The only flaw I can see with this operation is that it uses a hybrid technology. If one of the technologies fail, then the whole technology fails. It all falls down. So what needs to be done is there needs to be something where you're not going to be getting the information. Whether it means not using your cell phone as much, whether it means getting yourself together. I mean, either that or we can get silly and we can decide that there are other technologies that we can come up with that will go against the blue beam Jesus. Like, for example, perhaps the blue beam Godzilla. We can use that or some other crazy shit. But in the meantime, it's important for you to use critical thinking to understand that if there is no protocol for greeting a god or an alien, that perhaps those you voted for in power already know the truth. And that truth is that if by 2012 the gods, if they don't make it, then they're going to have to fake it. 2012 is that date. You keep hearing the 3-year period, 4-year period, we're going to lose this, we're going to lose that. You keep hearing about it. 2012 is that time period. If we don't come up with something good, people are not going to believe. They're going to run away and they say, hey, you know what? I've fallen for this for too fucking long, and I'm out. They're going to lose that 79%. And that's what you need to be aware of. You wanted to make a statement? Go ahead.
Some of you think we had a pretty cool day today. Nice, beautiful, so-called blue sky. We really haven't had a blue sky today. And some of you are like 25 years or older, we don't have a blue sky. We've got a white sky. This guy over here to my left who's now outside, who's been heckling through the night with his three friends, I wish he was in here right now. You guys got to wake up to the simple facts. This cat over here to my left, he's been doubtful about some of the stuff that Clive's been saying. What is it that, where has the reality of the phrase blue sky gone? How come we don't have a yellow-orange sun? How come the sun is spotlight white? What is this white crap above our heads on a daily basis for the past 10 years? What's the difference between the phrase contrail, which is normal jet exhaust, much like the heat that comes out of your body in the cold winter, versus chemtrail, which is powder?
Barium. It's that barium.
How is it that people can be so naive and uncaring and so self-absorbed that they're not going to give a damn that three buildings fall apart in 25 seconds on September 11th? That's 11 stories per second. You want to doubt some of the stuff that's going on in the world? You better wake up. You're half my age. You better be willing to revolt. Because this crap about the New World Order that's come along, this stuff about a global financial meltdown, how is it that you sit at a poker table and play poker with a bunch of people? How is it that it's a global table poker game meltdown? Somebody's going to win. We're not even being told that anybody's winning. It's the information that is left out that is more important than the information that you are told. And that's where the conspiracy fact lies. So when you start getting screwed up about these terms and you start pitting yourselves against other people, You need to wake up, man. You need to be willing to be awake, not to be enslaved. It's a whole lot easier to think of the billionaires who print money, which is totally ambiguous. It's based on nothing. And even when it was based on gold and silver, that's still nothing. Because you can't survive on gold and silver. It isn't food or water. So the people who print the money are the parents. And the people who are the government, the politics, they are the babysitters. And we, the citizens, the civilians, the people, we're the babies unless we choose not to be so. It's when people realize the tricks of the magicians that the magicians can no longer use those tricks again on us in the future. And that's where the revolution lies.
Exactly right. Give him a hand for that. Exactly what I'm trying to say tonight is that if you believe what the magicians are telling you, you're going to fall for it. And it makes you uncomfortable. That's okay. Fine. Let it make you uncomfortable. But you know what? You're going to learn. And when you learn, that's when you're going to get knowledge. And knowledge is important right now.
This coming Saturday, the woman who made the best, most popular 9/11 truth film is going to be here in Portland. And if you're not willing to be open-minded enough to spend $10 on her to see her this coming Saturday here in Portland, Oregon, 4312 Southeast Stark at 2:30 p.m., then you can go back to sleep, and I'll be fighting for your freedom, brothers and sisters. Otherwise, you'll be there, and you'll be with me, and you'll be with your own self-consciousness. And wake up and be willing to answer the alarm clock of truth and stay awake. And stop fucking with people and teasing people who are willing to fight for your freedom.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Just want to close everything up by saying, look, a lot of good points were raised tonight, and even though you may think that you didn't make a good point, you did make a good point. And even though that maybe these belief systems that I'm trying to put out to you are not your own belief systems, it's not. What's that? Thank you for serving our country. Give them a hand. Give them a hand. We just gave you an applause, sir. Okay, before we get into an argument over whether or not these guys are fighting for oil or fighting for our freedom, I just want to say that the military basically saved my ass many times with this radio show that I do. So, thank you for all you do. And even though I come off sounding like a big prick, I love you. Thanks for doing what you do. Anyway, in the meantime, just want to let you all know, Karaoke from Hell is coming up next. I want to let you know that I'm here every Monday night, 8 o'clock, and if you don't necessarily believe what I say, that's fine, but you're going to find out that it applies to the news because we live in a really fucked up weird world, and I try to reflect what's going on with what's going on in the real world. I look into symbols and signs and meanings and try to give it to you. You may not like it at first, and you may feel uncomfortable about it, but by damn, you're going to go back and you say, shit, I remember hearing something about this a long time ago. That's what's important. By the way, I do have, last week some people wanted to have copies of the CDs that I made. I have some more copies of CDs that are available for $10. If you want to hear the production of Ground Zero Continuum, I have it available on CD for $10. Go ahead. It helps me out because I try to make as much money as I can because I don't have a job right now. I'm trying to get the radio show back on the radio again. And, you know, after having cancer, it's been really difficult to get back on my feet again. So please help me out. Thank you so much for coming out to Ground Zero Lounge. We'll see you next week.